Chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This has been our starting point all week long, and I've enjoyed this missions conference, and I really like the missions emphasis that this church has, Bible Baptist Church. Oh, I'm getting the signal. Brother Dustin in the back. And we're on. Brother Dustin, are we good?
All right, I got the thumbs up. I like the missions emphasis in this church. You know, each night as we're having this missions conference, every service, I'm just looking around the room at the flags that are hanging off the wall and the missions letters that are posted on the wall. Folks, can I just say there's not a lot of churches that are doing what you're doing. Believe me, I've been around. I served 3 years in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and then 7 years in Johannesburg, South Africa, and then even just traveling around the states. There are some churches that have a missions emphasis, and you see it from the moment you walk in the door, and then there are some that just are only focused on what they're doing within the four walls of their church. And this church, what you have, I'm just trying to tell you, what you have is special. To have 50 missionaries supported at $100 a month. 50 missionaries. Most churches would sit back and say, man, we got a strong, healthy missions program. We are good. But then I looked at the theme for this year's missions conference, and what is it? Let's do more. And so that's exciting. Let's do more in 2024. Not just to sit back and say we're doing enough, but to look and say, hey, let's take on more missionaries. Let's give more. Let's contribute more. And so I like the missions emphasis that's been going on here and going on this week. And so I'm glad to be a part of it. I hope you fill these out. I hope you're giving towards missions. I've been on both sides of this. All right, I know what it is to be a church member and give towards missions, but I also know what it's like to be on the mission field and to be told, hey, we're going to be sending you so much, and then that so much never comes in, right? I know what it's like to not see that support come in, and so missionaries do depend on our giving, and as we give, the work of the Lord can move forward. Ephesians chapter 3, I want to be a blessing to you this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the messages you've heard thus far this week. The focus has been on the church. The church. And what this body of believers is doing in the work of the Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Say amen if you're there. All right, verse 20. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory. Where? Come on, let me hear you. Where? In the church. Unto Him be glory in the church. You know where God wants to be glorified? In Bible Baptist Church. If you're a part of Bible Baptist Church, God wants to be glorified in your life, and He wants you to be involved in what's going on here so that He can be glorified through the work of the church. Verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The emphasis this week through the preaching has been on the church. Wednesday night we started by looking at those Macedonian brethren and those churches, and what was it? It says, but first they gave themselves willingly. They gave their hearts. They gave their will over to the Lord. They surrendered first. And then Thursday night, we talked about the church as a building. And the fact that there is potential. God's trying to build you. And then Friday night, we talked about the church as the body. And the body is to be in partnership. We're all skilled in different ways, gifted in different ways, but we're working together for the health of the body of Christ. And then last night we looked at the church as the bride and the fact that we need to be a pure and holy and separated people if we want God to work in us and through us. This morning I want us to look at one church in particular. And it is the church of Corinth. So as we get started this morning, let's bow for prayer. Father, it is good to be saved. It's good to be in church. Lord, as we come to this important time of preaching, I realize that I don't have what it takes, Lord. I need You this morning. I need You to work through me. I need You to speak through me. And so I pray, Father, whatever You desire to do, whatever message You desire to get across, I pray that it would come across clearly. I do pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Thy sight. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every Christian is unique in their personality, in their character, in how God formed you. He formed you to fill a specific role in the work of the Lord. Do you know that churches are the same way? Every time I go to visit another church, I realize that every church has a certain personality. They've got a certain way of doing things. 90% of the time, most of the time, they're following the personality of the pastor, and the pastor kind of shapes and molds the personality of that church. But every church has a different personality, a different theme, and God uses each church to uniquely fulfill what He's created it for. That's evident in the book of Acts. When you look at the church at Antioch, you see that it's grace. It's the grace of God working in that church. When you look at the church at Philippi, you see it's obedience. The church at Philippi was all about obedience. They were characterized by obedience. When you look at the church at Ephesus, it was about focus. They always focused on the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of the Lord. All right? When you get to Corinth, does anybody cringe when they hear that name? Corinth, oh, there's nothing good about Corinth. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of good about Corinth. In fact, this morning we're going to look at Acts 18 and we're going to see the founding of that church and the growth of that church. And you know what it is that characterized the church at Corinth? It's one word. Teamwork. Teamwork. And I'm going to show you that this morning. By the way, can I just throw this off to the side? I wonder if God was going to sum up Bible Baptist Church in one word. I wonder how the Lord would characterize it. I like the theme of this church, exalting Jesus Christ through His Word. And that's a great theme. That's a great motto to live by and to serve under. The thing that characterized the church at Corinth was teamwork. Even with all their problems, their founding and their growth was not only unique, but it was orchestrated by God. Go to Acts chapter 18, and we're going to see that. Acts chapter 18, and look at verse 1. Acts 18, find Acts chapter 18, and look at verse 1. I want us to look at how this church started and how this church grew. And you're going to notice it was all by teamwork. Acts chapter 18, look at verse 1. Hope you're there. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to where? Corinth. All right, he's in Corinth. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they, Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers. What you're reading in Acts 18 is the founding of the church at Corinth. Do you understand? The church at Corinth was not founded by one man. You say, oh no, Paul started that church. Yes, he did. And we saw the other night how he was the master builder. He was the real work and the brains behind the plan. But do you know that the church in Corinth, if it wasn't for teamwork, it never would have happened? Because as Paul comes into Corinth, he had been to Philippi, he had been to Thessalonica, he had been to Berea, he had gone to Athens and was pressed in the Spirit, and all along he's trying to serve God, and folks are supporting him in that ministry. As a missionary, there were churches that were supporting him. Philippi was one in particular that was supporting the work. And then he comes to Corinth, and at Corinth something happens. If you study this out, the support that Paul was receiving dries up. The money dries up. And so what does he do? He does what any hard-working preacher has to do. He picks up a trade and he starts working. And as he's working and doing this tent making in Corinth, because he's not getting the support, God brings across his path what I like to call the power couple of Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla. Now, we don't know if Paul won them to the Lord or if they were already saved, but they were believers and they come across Paul's path, and you find through this passage that as Paul is laboring and trying to plant this church and trying to do the work of the Lord, he's not alone in that work. God brings this power couple, Aquila and Priscilla, across his path, and they begin to work with Paul side by side as he serves God. I'm so impressed with this power couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Because later on, Paul makes note of this couple. When he writes the letter to the book of the Romans, you know what he does? He acknowledges Priscilla and Aquila. When he writes that letter, 1 Corinthians, back to the church in Corinth, you know what he does? He acknowledges Priscilla and Aquila. When he writes the book of 1 Timothy, you know what he does in the end of that book? He acknowledges and salutes Priscilla and Aquila. Why? Because they helped him in the work of the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 16. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. We're talking about teamwork. By the way, what's the first half of that word, teamwork? What is it? Team. All right. I had to depend on the visitor to help us out. Thank you. Team. All right. Teamwork. The first part of that word is team. And what you see is Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila. Here's that power couple working alongside Paul. And they were a team as God was planting this church in the city of Corinth. And Paul says this. Look at Romans 16, verse 3. Romans 16, verse 3. I want you to see this with your own eyes. Greet Priscilla, all right, that's the wife, and Aquila, that's the husband. What's the next two words? Come on now, my helpers. Paul acknowledged. He didn't strut across the pages of Scripture and said, I did all the work myself. He said, make sure you say hi to that power couple. He said, make sure you say hi to Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers. Read the rest there, verse 3. My helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Did you notice the end of verse 4? He says, not only am I thankful for this couple, he says, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. You see, Aquila and Priscilla had such an impact in the work of God. We're talking about a husband and wife team. Now listen, follow along. Aquila is not a pastor. Aquila is not a missionary. Priscilla is not a preacher. Priscilla is not an evangelist or a missionary. You know what they were? They were tent makers. Didn't we read that in Acts 18? For by their occupation they were tent makers. That's what they spent. That was their career. That was their job. That's what they spent all their time doing, was building tents. And yet Paul said, as I in the ministry was planting the church at Corinth, he said, I thank God and all the churches thank God. Why? Because of this couple that came alongside and helped me in the ministry, supported me in the ministry, that came alongside and helped me as I was laboring. You know, I look around this church and I see some power couples. You're saying, no, don't single us out. No, I see some power couples. I see some husband and wife teams. I'm not going to name names, all right? Because when you start naming names, you always forget somebody, and then that person feels left out, so I'm not going to do that, all right? But I look around this room, and I see power couples. I see husband and wife teams. And you understand, I'm not detracting from those that are single, but I'm just applying what we're at right now, all right? We'll get to the rest later. But I see some power couples in this room. If God's blessed you with a spouse that's in church with you and serving the Lord, you ought to thank God. Can you say amen if that's you? Oh man, I tell you what, God blessed me when He gave me my wife, Megan. She loves the Lord, she's faithful, she's hardworking, and boy, there's one of the greatest gifts that I've enjoyed is being able to take her hand in my hand and to pray together. There's, folks, there's something about that. There's some power in that when couples pray. I mean, when a husband and wife team are involved in the work of the Lord. You know what Bible Baptist Church needs? We need single folks who will serve the Lord. Amen. And I know some of you are widowed and some have lost your spouse and you need to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. But can I talk to the power couples in this room for just a second? Just a second. The rest of you, just give me a little bit of patience, all right? The power couples in this room, don't serve the Lord singularly. Take your husband's hand in your hand. Take your wife's hand in your hand and serve God together. Because there are Pauls, there are missionaries, there are pastors, and your pastor, you know what he needs? He needs some power couples in this church. Some folks that will not just the husband come by himself, the wife come by herself. And listen, I'm not going to get into meddling because I don't even know what goes on in this church. But can I just encourage you this morning? Husbands, serve the Lord with your wife. Ladies, serve the Lord with your husband. Pray together. Give together. Listen, when you're thinking about giving to missions, give together. Make that decision together. And get on board to serve God. Because what is that verse? I wrote it down somewhere. I know it's in Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. That's what it is. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And so as I look around this room, whether you're giving towards missions or involved in a bus ministry or helping out in a children's ministry, you know what your pastor needs? He needs some power couples. He needs some Aquilas and Priscillas. Amen? All right, folks, if you're married, if you've got a spouse, thank God for the gift that God's given you and your spouse and serve the Lord together. That's what we need. We need some men and women who will get down before God on their face and pray for God's power and pray for God's blessing and get involved in serving the Lord together. Now the second part of that word, team work. Some of you don't want to say it because you're afraid you're going to cuss in church. Work. It's not a cuss word, all right? Work. It's not a bad word, all right? Don't be afraid of the word work. It's team work. And so what happened? God brought this couple alongside of Paul, and Paul's planting the church at Corinth, and Aquila and Priscilla come alongside, and they're his fellow helpers. They're helping him in this work. And Paul's doing the preaching, and Paul's winning people to Christ, and he's doing this mission work, but this couple decides, we're going to support the work of Paul, and we're going to pray with him, and we're going to serve with him, and we're going to help him. But it was still work. The work of the Lord is still work. Look down at verse 9. We're in, hopefully you're in Acts chapter 18. Acts 18 and look at verse 9. Acts 18, verse 9. Then spake the Lord. Acts 18. I hear pages turning, so I'll wait. Acts 18, verse 9. Verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. I like these next words. For I am with thee. Amen. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Here's what I want you to notice. When Paul heard this promise, when God came to Paul and said, hey Paul, I got a lot of people in this city. There's going to be people that will get saved. This church is going to grow. That Paul didn't just sit back and say, all right, praise the Lord, I'm going to claim God's promise. And then just sit back passively and wait for it to happen. No. What's the next verse? Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. I'm telling you, folks, Paul was not afraid to work. He was a hard worker. And so Aquila and Priscilla come alongside him, and he's struggling because he's preaching the gospel, and people are not responsive. They're not receptive to it. And so he kind of washes his hands of those Jews and says, I'm done. I'm walking out of here. And that night God says, hey, Paul, don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. He says, God says, I got a lot of work to do in this city. There's much people in this city. And Paul doesn't just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to claim the promises of God. God's going to do it. Yeah, God's going to do it. But get out there and work. Amen? Get out there and contribute. It's not just about claiming the promises of God and then just waiting for God to do it. No, God expects you to do what you can do. God blesses faith mixed with hard work. And we don't need lazy preachers, and we don't need lazy pastors, and we don't need lazy missionaries, and we don't need lazy Christians. Come on now, amen? Are we not living in a society of people that are afraid of that four-letter word, work? Don't be afraid to work. Don't be afraid to roll up your sleeves and sweat a little bit and dig into a project and dig into some work and get your hands dirty. Don't be afraid to work. And it's the same thing in the work of God. God doesn't need lazy servants. God doesn't need lazy Christians. And God help us, we don't need lazy parents. We got to roll up our sleeves and get to work, because this job of reaching the world with missions, it's not about just sitting back and say, well, the Lord will provide. The money's just going to fall from the sky. No, we get out there and we work hard. And God blesses our hard work. You see, Aquila and Priscilla, every day they went out and they made that material. And every day they prepared that twine and that rope. And every day they shaped those nails. And every day they worked at their occupation as tent makers. And through them, God gave a portion of their work to Paul, and Paul was able to plant that ministry. And so Aquila and Priscilla are working, amen, for hard work, and Paul is working, amen, for hard work. And then even in the middle of that work, Paul's going and he's teaching every day. He's giving out the gospel every day. He's working hard. And for 18 months he stays right there in the city of Corinth doing the work of God, and God blesses hard work. Amen. Well, I don't know if anybody else is getting anything, but it's helping me. We need some hard workers in the work of God. This church was founded by teamwork. Folks, I'm telling you, the only way this job is going to get done is through teamwork. And I know I've been hammering away at it Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, talking about the church as the bride, the body, the building. But no church can succeed on the shoulders of one person. Amen. It takes everybody doing their part. And I talk about the strong missions emphasis in this church, and we look at the giving that took place this past year, $60,000, almost $60,000 going out, not staying here, but going out to the Philippines, to Bulgaria, to Moldova, to all these, you look around all these letters around the room and all these different countries, that money's not staying here, it's going out to help these missionaries. That was not done by one person. That was a collective effort. That was your giving. That was you coming in each Sunday night and giving towards that missions offering. That was you going out and working day after day, week after week, and saying, Lord, you've given me a job. Lord, you've blessed me with health and strength, and now I can give back to you what you've given to me. That's a blessing to be able to do that. To be able to give back to the work of the Lord. Not just our tithe, but above our tithe. To send the gospel out to these countries. It takes teamwork, folks. It takes every person in this room contributing to the work of the Lord. And it's so exciting to think that if $60,000 was given last year, what more could be done in 2024? I still see some blank spots on that wood there. I see some spots that could be filled out with new missionaries and new projects and new countries that could be reached. How does it happen? It happens when everybody in this room gets on board. It happens when everybody contributes and everybody gets on the same page. God's given your pastor a vision. He's given your pastor an emphasis. He's given your pastor some goals. And now your pastor is sincerely pleading with you, help us. Be helpers. Be that Aquila. Be that Priscilla. Be those that will come on board and support the work of God. This church at Corinth was founded by teamwork. But I want you to notice also, it flourished by teamwork. Skip down to verse 24. Now, for some of you that have been here this week, this is going to be a little repetitive, but that's all right. It's worth repeating. Because in Acts 18, when you get down to the end of the chapter, we're introduced to another helper in this work by the name of Apollos. We've talked about him this week. Verse 24, Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. Skip down to verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive Him, who, when He was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You see, after this founding of the church with this team, Paul, Aquila, Priscilla, after God blessed that founding, now the church begins to grow. But you find out what happens is Paul moves on from Corinth after those 18 months of hard work. Aquila and Priscilla move on from Corinth. And who comes into Corinth? A man by the name of Apollos. You know, it's interesting. This was said in Sunday school. Those who have contributed and given their lives to the Lord and believed by faith and served by faith, those are the ones that are noted in Scripture. Right? When I said Aquila and Priscilla this morning, you recognized those names, didn't you? When I said Paul, you recognized that name. When I said Apollos, most of us, we've heard that name even this week. It was interesting, while Brother Mario was teaching Sunday school, I got my Bible out and I wrote down these names. Shamua. Anybody know that name? Shaphat. Don't hear about him in Sunday school. Egal. Palti. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but if you're in Sunday school, you know where I'm going. Gadiel. Gadi. Amiel. Sether. Nabi. I like this one. Ghoul. Aren't you glad that it was Joshua and Caleb that were the two spies that we remembered? Because I don't think we would have handled Ghoul too well for the rest of history. You know what? Those are the 10 names of the spies Brother Mario was talking about in Sunday school. When we talk about the Old Testament and the work of God in the Old Testament, when you hear the names Joshua and Caleb, you know exactly what we're talking about. Those were the two spies that believed what God had said and by faith entered the promised land. But those other 10, I just read their names. We don't know those names. Shamua? When I hear Shamu, I think of SeaWorld, so I'm way off there. When I hear of Ghoul, I just laugh. All right? But those are the 10 names. We don't talk about those guys. But Joshua and Caleb, we talk about them. Aquila and Priscilla, we talk about them. Paul, we talk about him. Apollos, we're about to talk about him. Those are folks who said, I'm not going to just be swallowed in with that 10 spies and not do the work of God. I'm going to, by faith, follow God's leading. Those are the ones that are remembered. The ones that actually do something for God. And Apollos was one of them. And you notice in this passage, look at chapter 19, verse 1. Chapter 19, verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth. Who is at Corinth? Apollos. Paul's gone. Aquila and Priscilla are gone. Who's going to take care of the church? Isn't it amazing how God always provides someone? God always raises up a man. God always raises up a servant of the Lord. Who's going to reach the deaf in South Africa? Most people go their entire life and don't think twice about deaf people in South Africa. But God was sure thinking about them. God hadn't forgotten them. And He reaches down and touches the heart of a young lady, Ashley Taylor, and says, Ashley, I want you to go to South Africa because there's those who cannot hear the gospel, literally cannot hear the gospel, and you need to go. And God raises someone up to a group that we would never even think twice about. Who's gonna deal with this next generation? Who's gonna reach these teens? And most of us sit back and we scoff at the gender confusion and we scoff at the homosexuality and we're frustrated with the young generation. But God reaches down and He takes a young couple, Brother Mario and Miss Emily, and He says, I need to reach this generation. And He raises up a power couple that'll reach them with the gospel. Yeah, God's interested. Let me ask you this morning, are you interested? God's raising up people. God's still calling preachers. I've been saying it every single sermon this week. God is still calling preachers into the work of God. And I believe right in this moment, God is looking down in this church and in local churches all across this country. He's looking within the churches and He's saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And He's just waiting for a man to raise a hand and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. He's looking. And I can tell you, He's not looking in the homes of the one who are sitting home this morning. Right? He's not looking in the homes in Cambridge and Bisel. He's looking in Bible Baptist Church. When God called the preachers in Acts chapter 13, where did He look? In the church. In the church. You know where God's going to call the next missionary? You know where God's going to call the next pastor? He's not looking in the homes of Cambridge and Bisel. He's not looking in the schools. He's not looking in the universities. He's not looking into politics. He's not looking into anything else. He's looking down at the local church. And from the local church, He looks in this place right now, in this moment, folks, God's calling. You know what I find interesting about that calling in Isaiah 6? He didn't say, Isaiah! No, He just simply called to the point where Isaiah could hear. And He said, what? Isaiah shall go? What did He say? Whom shall I send? Who will go? And when He saw one willing, Isaiah said, I'm here, Lord. Lord, pick me, right? Like trying to get on the team in dodgeball. Pick me. Isaiah said, I'm eager. I want to serve God. Lord, if You'll allow me, I'm here. Here am I. Boy, I remember as a 15-year-old boy when I heard the call of God. And I was sitting at a youth camp, by the way, on a Thursday evening, and God touched my heart. And I'm telling you, folks, those were my words. Here am I. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm willing to go wherever You want me to go. I'm willing to do whatever You want me to do. And you look around at the missionaries that are supported by the church. You know where those missionaries started? They didn't start by working on the mission field. I guarantee 100% of them, they were in a local church serving God somewhere, and God reached down, just like He wants to reach down into Bible Baptist Church, and utter that still small voice, whom shall I send? Who? Who then is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord? See, God's still calling. God's still looking. 2 Chronicles 16:9, listen. For the eyes of the Lord, don't miss this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's He looking for? To show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. God's still looking for a man. God's still looking for a preacher. God's still looking for missionaries. Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me. He's looking. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Teamwork. That's how the church was founded. That's how the church flourished. And folks, I'm telling you, 26 years ago, God reached down into a youth camp and said, Matt, I want you. I want you. And I said, here am I. And I surrendered to the call of God. And boy, it's been a lot of ups and downs. Boy, it's been a lot of trials and challenges. It's never been perfect. It never will be perfect until it's all over. And I'm in glory. But through every challenge, you know what's carried me through every trial, every challenge? That calling. That calling has never changed. And I believe, 26 years later, God's still calling. God's still calling preachers. And I believe maybe He'd even call one from this crowd today. Who knows? It's God's will. It's whatever He wants to do. But if God touches your heart, you ought to surrender. You ought to surrender to the work of God. Because we need pastors. We desperately need pastors. We need missionaries. We need men and women that will surrender their lives fully to do the work of God locally and across this world. We need them. We need Pauls. We need Aquilas and Priscillas. We need Apollos. We need ones that will ably teach the Word of God and raise God's people in His Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you were here Thursday night, you recognize this passage. We spent quite a bit of time here. But I'm going to repeat something that was said on Thursday because I think it's worth repeating. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. What's the second word? Or what's the second word in teamwork? All right, I'm getting you. We're starting to grow a little bit. Work. It's not a bad word. Teamwork. And you notice in 1 Corinthians 3, notice all the words that refer to work. Verse 6, I have planted. You know, planting takes work. Yeah, if you've ever, any of you that have done any kind of agriculture, any kind of farming, planting is work. Apollos watered. See, Apollos came in and took that founding and those new believers and he watered and he watered and he watered and he sat back patiently just like a farmer would sit back and wait for that to come to fruition. And every day he got out there in the sun and he watered and he taught the Word of God and he worked with those people. He worked and God gave the increase. Verse 6. Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth, that's work, anything. Neither he that watereth, that's work, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, that's work, and he that watereth, that's work, are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's work. Labor is work. Verse 9, for we are laborers. We're workers. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And all through this passage, there are so many references to building, planting, watering, laboring, working. Why? Because it takes hard work. And we're not to be afraid of work. And praying is work. And we give because we labor. And God blesses our labor. And we continue in God's work. God needs laborers. You know, it's interesting when Jesus Christ was preaching to the multitudes, he said that if any man wanted to follow him, if any man wanted to work for him, you know what he said? He said, you're going to need to put your hand to the plow. He didn't say put your hand to the iPhone. Right? Put your hand to the plow. Why? Because the work of the Lord is work. And he said, you put your hand to that plow and you don't look back. Why? Because if you're going to serve God, it requires hard work. And you're going to have to put your hand to the plow. That's a working instrument. And that working instrument digs into the ground and digs up that dirt and prepares that soil. And you sweat and you work in the sun. Why? Because you're doing a work for God and it is W-O-R-K, work. And it takes patience and it takes energy and it takes prayer and it takes sacrifice and it takes effort because it's work. But without work, the work of the Lord will never get done. Let's stand to our feet as we finish this morning. Team work.